Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. As we continue to go through our series called Standing Strong in the Struggle. How many are going through a challenge in your life right now? A good number of us. And if you're not, I'm going to guess that you have recently. Or if you haven't recently, I'm going to guess that you'll have one coming up soon. It's kind of what life is like. We want to try to take all of the troubles and problems out of life, particularly as Americans. But it's really not possible, is it? Because there's always going to be struggles in our life. And this whole series is about putting on our spiritual armor and helping us to stand strong in the midst of the struggles. We talked about putting on the belt of truth. Belt of truth, the belt that held everything together. It held things in place. It held our weapons at ready access. The truth is something that we needed to have at the ready, always with us, holding our lives together, having that firm foundation. And we talked about putting on the having our feet fitted with the gospel of truth. The readiness that comes from the gospel of truth, ready to go, whatever God calls us to do, wherever he would call us to go, whatever he would call us to say, confident. Boots were like things that helped us able to walk across ground, not worry about stepping on sharp rocks. We know what the gospel is. It holds us steady. It protected our feet, which is what we go with, right? And it gave us the grace and power to go as God has called us. Today we're talking about putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Well, there's a word we use often in our culture, right? Righteousness. Well, we're going to talk about just exactly what that means and maybe correct some misconceptions about what that actually looks like and means in our lives. So let's stand together as we read our verses. We'll have our verse out of Ephesians and another one that we'll be taking some time to look at as well. So let's read together, see what God has for us. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Lord, I pray that you would give us grace to be able to not just hear it, and even beyond understanding it, Lord God, that you would take this to a place of where we live. Make this something so much more than academic, Lord God. May it speak to us of the truth, not only of who we are, but who you are, and this relationship that you've provided and made available for us. So thank you, Lord, for how you're going to speak. Thank you for how you're going to give us the ability to understand through your Spirit. All this we thank you for in Jesus' name, and amen. And you may be seated. So the breastplate was what they wore over their front and back, and it protected the vital organs. The things, the heart, the lungs, spines, the vitals. You get an injury to those from a sword, and guess what? You're not going to be long for this world. That's going to take you out. And you'll be out of the fight. You'll be out of the struggle. And it was important, Paul said, have the breastplate of righteousness. Remember the last two words that it said? What did it say? Keep the breastplate of righteousness in place. Yeah. It needs to be, you have to put it on. You can't, if you're just dragging it behind you, right? If you just kind of slung over your shoulder, It's not going to do you any good. It needs to be implemented, put on, and put in place. But what is righteousness? That's a word we don't use very often, and it's important to understand what it is. You know, Todd kind of made some references to how people look at the church, and sometimes they look at us as being all about, righteousness. We're right somehow. It's all about being right, and we get off track about what righteousness truly is. Righteousness, if you could go to the next slide, there's two definitions of when the Bible uses the word righteousness. The first talks about our right standing before God. Our righteousness is our being able to be right before God. This verse that we're going to look at in association with this in 2 Corinthians gives a lot of input into it. It says, God made him who had no sin, and that was whom? Jesus. Jesus. God made Jesus who had no sin to be sin, or what it means is a sin offering for us, so that in him, who? In Jesus, we, who? Us. We might become the righteousness of God. So God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, who was sinless, to be that sin offering for us. That's the right standing that we receive, because the sin that we lived out earned for us what? Our spiritual death. Jesus took the death that we earned for him upon himself. He who knew no sin took your sin and my sin on himself. Now this can all start getting real academic. Okay, yeah, see, Jesus died for our sins. Think about your life. Think about your yesterday. Think about your last year. Think about 10 years ago, or maybe 50 years ago. The life that we've lived, the sin that we have chosen in our lives, he took it upon himself. And we can think back on some little white lies, and we can think back on some really hurtful, awful things that we've done. And Jesus took those things upon himself. It becomes very real when we recognize that my sin separated me from God. And God said, I know you've separated yourself from me, but I've come to reunite you with myself. He didn't have to do that. He did it. Why? Because he loves you. He loves you. Romans 5:8. Anybody remember that verse? God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were, that's sinners, Christ died for us. Yeah, he demonstrated, he showed us his love for us. And sin can feel real loosey-goosey and academic today, but it's a real thing. And when we hit the end of our lives, that's when it becomes very real for us. Whether or not we have found Christ to be our Savior means all the difference to whether or not we stand there with our own sin on our shoulders, or, as we're going to find, we're in a right standing with God. It is a gift that he's given us. Remember what John said when Jesus first came on the scene? John saw him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He said, yeah, and that's exactly what he did. And I think of the verse in Galatians. It really speaks about this. For I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I no longer live my life. I was dead in sin anyway, I now have Christ's life living in me. That's that whole thing when it says, so that Jesus died in our place, so that in Christ, in him, we might become the righteousness. How am I going to become God's righteousness? You know how I become God's righteousness? By God coming and living in me. It's him living in me. That's why I am alive. It's his life in me. I am the new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You're therefore a new creation in Christ. So all of that, we need to find out what our standing is before God. When I stand before God, I no longer stand. I'm just going to go down the list here. This is a powerful thing. Whereas before, I was dead in my sin. And that was a real thing. That was a real thing. I'm no longer dead in Christ. I am alive. I'm alive in Christ. I now have life with my Father God. And that's real. Knowing these things helps us to stand strong when stuff happens in your life. We get rocked by tragedies. Knowing who I am and where I stand with God. So something happens in your workplace. All of a sudden, you made a mistake. You got in trouble with the boss. Maybe you even got demoted. Maybe you lost your job. This speaks to the guys a lot of times. What is that going to do to us? All of a sudden, I feel like, I failed. There's something wrong with me. I'm no good. We beat up on ourselves. Wait a minute. My life is not in my job. My life is in Christ, you know? Whereas before I was sin-stained, maybe your failure is a sin that you've struggled with trying to overcome, and you've hurt people along the way. Maybe now you've overcome it, but you still have regrets about the hurts that you've caused. And you know what? You say, I was sin-stained. Not anymore. I've been washed clean by the blood of Christ. I no longer bear the guilt of my sins. They've been washed clean. The guilt, forgiven. I'm forgiven. God has forgiven me. That's a powerful thing. Because we've all had things that we regret in our lives, things that we've done, whether we've hurt God or we've hurt other people. And in Christ, my right standing before God is I'm forgiven. I don't stand before God with my head down. We deserve to. I don't have to. Because, as the next thing says, where I used to be under judgment, I'm not anymore. I've been justified. I've been made as if I've never sinned. Because of what Christ did for me. He took my sins and stood in my place. That's powerful. This is how I stand before God. And when the weight of the things of the world weigh me down, I have to stop and say, wait a minute. I know who I am in Christ. I used to be an enemy of God. That's what Scripture tells me. I never thought of myself that way. But Scripture tells me that I was, because I was going my own way. Now you know what he calls me? Calls me his friend. So when I stand before God, what is my standing with God? I'm not coming in fear. I'm coming as his friend of Almighty God. That's so powerful. I used to be separated from God. What does the Bible say that sin does? It separates us from God. Not anymore. The Bible says I have free access into the very throne room of God. That's my standing before God. So when the tough stuff of life hits me and comes, I have to remember the Bible says that I can come into the throne room of God with freedom and with confidence, knowing that I'm loved by God. I am his child. I've been forgiven. When I'm weak, he's our strength. I don't have to stand in my own weakness. Our verse says, when you've done everything, what? To stand. Sometimes, you know what? Sometimes I've done everything that I can, and I just don't have anything left to push forward. You know what the Bible says to do? Just stand. Just stand before God and say, God, thank you that I'm forgiven. Thank you that you're working out all things to my good. And Lord, you're going to have to work the situation out. I'm just going to stand in your presence and trust. Sometimes that's all you can do. And you know what? Sometimes that's all God calls you to do. He says, stop trying. Stop trying to fix it. Just stand and trust me and let me work this out. It's a powerful place that we have to stand before God. I used to be an orphan. Now I've been adopted. He chose me and adopted me into his family. I'm now his own son. God, I'm the son of God, aren't I? In a different way, right, than Jesus. But I'm his son. He's adopted me into his family. Sometimes we're walking in bondage to sin. That's where I was before I came to Christ. But no, you know what? I'm free. The Bible says I have freedom in Christ. And that's my standing before God. I used to be condemned. I've been pardoned. I've been pardoned. I used to have to rely on my own wisdom, try to figure things out. Not anymore. God has given me his precious, wisdom-filled word, his Holy Spirit to help me to understand it. And I no longer have to figure this out myself. My Father God walks with me. That's my standing before God. I don't have to live in fear anymore. I have peace. I have peace with God. I used to be Satan harassed. You know what? He still harasses me, but guess what he's got to do now? He's got to flee. I draw near to God, and he draws near to me, and the Bible says Satan has to flee. He has to flee. And that's the good news of where I stand now as opposed to where I used to stand. That's a powerful thing. When we know who we are and who God is in the midst of our lives, it's where we can stand. Life can hit us. It can blow us down. Without having the breastplate of righteousness, having this standing before God that I know that I know that I know who I am. You know what? Stuff's going to hit. Life's going to hit. But it protects the life parts of us. It may knock us down. It may knock us off our feet for a time. We may get knocked back. That's life. That's life. But we're never knocked out of the race because it protects who we are. We are who we are no matter what life does. We are all of these things in Christ. So we may have financial problems that hit us. What does that bring to our hearts? What are the things we struggle with when we have a real financial crisis hit us? What might be some things? Fear? Yeah, that was the first thing that I thought of. What does it matter what our standing is when we're standing there in fear? Because of some financial crisis. What matters? Which one of these things would be the answer to our fears? Yeah, we have peace because why? We're his child. I'm not an orphan. I've been adopted into, I'm God's child. What else? Yeah, I may feel awfully weak and not have any answers to get out of it, dig myself out of this financial mess. But God's going to give me the strength to take the next step, sometimes just to stand, sometimes to start pressing forward to do the right things. Yeah, this is who we are in the midst of these trials. Maybe you've had broken relationships. Something happened in a relationship. What are some of the things that would make us feel? Yeah, alone. That was the first thing that came to my mind. We feel alone. We feel abandoned. We feel like I'm on my own. What's the answer to those things when we stop and recognize who I am in Christ? Yeah, I have a friend. I've been made his friend. And I have somebody to go to always. What else? Yeah, you belong to the family of God. We're not alone. We've been adopted into that family, haven't we? Yeah, we are. We have been chosen by Him. We can feel guilt for maybe we had a part in breaking up the relationship. But you know what? What do we do with our guilt? We're forgiven. And then we can learn to forgive as well. So these are the things that when life hits, they are the vital things that keep us alive. Even though life may beat on us, the breastplate of our righteousness, or why do I have this standing before God? What's the one reason that I have this standing of righteousness before God? Yeah, Jesus. Jesus. He is the reason that I can stand here forgiven. I can stand here with all of those things. He's the reason. So He never changes, right? He never changes. Now, that's putting the righteousness on, which is the first part of our message. The last part here is without putting other people off. Sometimes living out our faith in this world, as Todd was talking about, can put people off. People start to feel like you try to live a faith-filled life and do the right thing, and all of a sudden people start thinking that you're kind of holier than thou and you're stuck up or you're judgmental. And that's reality. How do we live as God's children, as His people, without putting people off? Let me just take a survey. How many people would say that's something that is very difficult in your daily life to do, to live for Christ without people kind of sometimes being offended by that? Do you ever run into that? Yeah, it's becoming tougher. This is the other definition of righteousness. It's our right living before others. It's right living before others. It is number one, our right standing before God, which is through Christ. But number two, it means righteousness is right living before other people. How do we live as Christ calls us to live? And both times, both places, we stand before God blameless because of what Christ did, right? And because it was what Jesus did and not what I have done, we stand before God humble. It's not anything that I did. Who am I to say I'm better than somebody else when everything that I have has been given to me by God, and I didn't deserve it. I didn't earn it. Our righteousness, our right standing before God is a humble place, and our right living before others must be the same, a humble place, but also a blameless place. Okay? We're all still called to follow in Jesus' commands. We're still called to live according to how He called us to live. And that is different from the world. Amen? It really is. We're called to be a different people. And that's not an easy thing to live out in this world. But the reality is we're the same as the world around us and always but one, and that is our faith in Christ. We all have problems. We all have temptations. We all have hurts from life. We all have troubles. It's just life. And we're not exempt from those. Just because we become a Christian doesn't mean all of a sudden those things all fall off the map and everything works well. We all still have those same struggles. It's not our job to point to others' sins, is it? Whose job is that? Louder? It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict of sin. Now, will God use us to communicate truth in their world? You think? Yeah, absolutely. We would have to just never speak to people if that was going to be the case. As we interact with the world, of course there's going to be times where we communicate what truth is and what God's word says. We do that out of love for people. They need to know. But God's word says it this way, and I think it helps to clarify it. It says, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. This is how we live rightly or have right living before others. We're supposed to let our light so shine before men. What is our light? Yeah, Christ is our light. It is, again, it all comes back to him. It's Christ living in us. But besides that, what else are we supposed to do? Yeah, we're supposed to do good deeds, right? We're supposed to do good deeds. It's both. I just had a call from Angela Pondoker. That's Shaquille and Angela, that Angela. She sent out a message to a few people. She came across somebody, a new friend that she had made as she was trying to minister to the people in her community, whose mother was back in Bangladesh and needed an operation. And this woman was just struggling to get by on her own as well. And so Angela's like, how can I help her, you know? And so she just came up with the idea. I think the Lord gave it to her. And she made a GoFundMe account and said, I have a daughter who's trying to help her mother who needs surgery. And she just put it out there and sent out a note. Now, that didn't take a lot, but it took her following through on what she thought, I can try to do something. And so I think they raised, after GoFundMe took their share, about $510 or something like that. And she brought it to this girl. And the girl said, thank you so much. And she sent a note back to those that helped and so appreciated it. But I don't need all that. I only needed $330. So she turned down the rest. And Angela said, well, I did find another family that was in significant need. Would you mind if I gave that to them? And she said, yes, please. I'm like, wow. And these people that she's helping are not even Christian people. And she just was trying to reach out and help them and let them know that they're loved by God. And it kind of snowballed. All she was doing was trying to love others and let her light so shine and do the good deeds, and God's taking that and using it to bless others, to help them know what we know, what we've found out, is that we are loved by God. And so what does that mean? What does that look like? Going back to our list from before, when our identity, our right standing before God comes out in our right living before others in this way. So I used to be dead in sin. Sin used to rule my life. Live as one who is alive. If you have been set free from sin, live as someone who has been set free. Live with joy. Live with hope. Live with an expectation that God is, he's alive in my life and he's working in my life. When you do that, this is how we start living our righteousness before others, rather than looking to see who I can correct. I start looking to see who I can give. What am I trying to give away? You know, what God's given to me. I was given a gift that I didn't deserve. Of course, I want to give this gift to other people who were in the same boat I was, right? So live your life as one who's alive. You were sin-stained. You've been washed clean. Live as clean. Live as a holy person. Live a life of purity. Joyfully live a life that says, I'm saying no to sin. And be happy about it. Rejoice in that because God has cleansed you. He's washed you clean. You don't have to be guilty, right? You've been forgiven. So how should you live as righteous people? Yeah, forgive others. Give what you've been given. Forgive. And what a powerful testimony of love to a world as we live out our righteousness. You were under judgment before? Not anymore. You've been justified in Christ. So live that close relationship with that one who died in your place. Live as one who says, I love my Savior. What he did for me, I didn't deserve. Oh my goodness. The love that he has for me, I want to give that away. Live a close relationship with him. You were an enemy of God. Not anymore. I'm a friend of God now. So how do we live our lives? First, maybe what God did for you. He became your friend. Now you be friends with others. Go be a friend. You've been made a friend of God. Go become a friend of somebody else. That's how we live out our righteousness in our world, is to go and live out what we've been given. We were separated. Hey, we were there. Guess what? Our friends that don't know, don't have a relationship with God, they're separated from God too. So you know what you do? Take them and introduce them to God. Somebody did that for you, right? You're a believer because somebody else introduced you to Jesus. So you go and introduce them to your Savior. What a beautiful thing. You were an orphan before. Now you've been adopted into his family. Talk to them about your Abba Father. Talk to them about him. You know what Abba means? It's a more familiar word for father, maybe along the line of dad, a more intimate word. Tell them about your Abba Father. Talk to them about him. You were in bondage, now you're free. Live free. Live as someone who's free from the stuff of the world. And you're not bound by things. You were condemned. Now God has pardoned you. Can you pardon people? I guess before God, you can't really pardon people. You can forgive. And I know that's what people were talking about. But live guilt-free. Live as someone who's been pardoned, and you're not held by those things anymore. And be free to share with people what God has done and forgiving you, setting you free from that. You have God's wisdom now, or you didn't have it before. Share what God has given you. And we were talking before, advice can be a dangerous thing. You don't necessarily have to walk up and say, well, God told me that this is what you need to do. Share what God's wisdom has done in your life. Let it be a testimony of God's truth through what he's done in your life. So you want to, somebody needs some advice or direction in life about a decision. You don't have to go and say, well, this is what I think you should do, because I'm a Christian and this is what God said. You don't know what the other person should or shouldn't do, do you? You say, you know what? I was in a situation where I really wasn't sure what to do, and I was prayerful, and I asked God, and he did this, and he sent this person into my life, and this is how he directed me. And I know he would do the same for you if you would seek after him, and maybe read this Bible verse or whatever it might be. You share about God's wisdom through your own life, and then allow the Holy Spirit to apply it to theirs. Okay? It takes us out of the place of being the advice giver and puts us in the place of saying, this is what God did in my life, and I'll be praying that God helps you direct. Now, they may ask for advice, and you can talk things through with them, certainly. But point them to God and His wisdom. Peace we have in the midst of trials. If somebody's being harassed by Satan, they don't know God to be able to pray at this point in time, so here's what you do. You intercede for them. You be the one that goes to God for them. And guess what Satan has to do? He has to flee. So that's how we live out. We know who we are in Christ, and we can stand strong no matter what stuff comes and hits us in life. We know who we are and who we can go to. We live out our righteousness in the world by just doing that, living out what we've been given. It's basically, I know what God has given me, now I give what God has given me to others. That's a powerful, powerful thing. So that's what it means to have the breastplate of righteousness in place. Know who you are, live who you are, and give what you've been. Well, that's what I want to send you with today. I want you to take this out and just think about, God, who am I? And how can I live this out and give this away to the world around me? Let's take a minute to bow our heads in prayer. We're just going to close in prayer today. Lord, give us a moment to just think about which of these areas maybe, or maybe something else that you want to reaffirm in us and who we are before you and our standing before you. That God, you have forgiven us truly, even though sometimes we want to hang on to things, Lord. You've forgiven us, Lord God. Sometimes we feel far away from you, Lord, and our relationship with you just feels dry and separate, and yet we know that in Christ we've been brought near, and we're your child, and we're your friend, and you're our King and our God. Pray that you'd speak into whatever areas just we're struggling with, and help us, Father God, to know that we are who you say we are. We are loved by God, we are forgiven, and we're your children. And I pray, Father, that you begin to lay on our hearts people that you've placed in our lives, that we can go and live out this great gift that we've been given to the ones around us, Lord God. Give us courage. As we told our kids, Lord, give us courage and strength to walk and do the hard things, Lord God. Give us courage and strength to walk in this great gift we've been given, and Lord, to give it away. I pray for each one, Lord, that's here, that you begin to put upon their hearts, maybe you've already been doing it, that one or two or three people that you've put in their path and in their lives that don't have that right standing before you, and all of the blessing that comes with it that we have been given, God, would you give an opportunity for them and the courage to begin to live that out for those few people, that one or two or three people, and truly be used by you to minister to them and bring them near to you, Lord, and introduce them to you. So thank you, Father God. Thank you for the strength you give us. We can't do this on our own. We're desperate for you, Lord God. And we think of the loved ones around us, our family, our friends, our country, our community. Lord God, we're desperate for you, Lord, to do a work through us. And we know that's the only way you're going to work, is through a willing people. So use us, Lord. Bless us, Father. Bless our community around us. And we'll thank you, Father, for what you're going to do through us. We do it trusting in you, just opening our arms, saying, use us, Lord, today. And all this we ask, trusting and thanking you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. God bless you. Go out and live as free people and his children today. God bless you today.